Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Jeremiah chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, just a few verses of scripture in Jeremiah today. Thank the Lord for his goodness and mercy. Don't forget, on a not-so-glad note, this is Brother Jonathan and his family's last Sunday before they moved to McKinney, Texas. And we're praying all the blessing of the Lord go with them and follow them. Going to bless his business and the things they're doing. And we're just going to believe that they're going to get there. God's going to take care of business, and they're going to come back home to Athens, Georgia. We will miss you, Brother Jonathan, your family. We love y'all so very much, and just praying God keep you as you get ready to head on this great adventure. But Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And very familiar, Jeremiah 29 and 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Praise the Lord. Today I want to talk to you with just this thought in mind. Masterpiece. The masterpiece. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you today. Oh, for your presence that we have felt during this worship. And we thank you, Lord, for the miracles that you're going to do today and that you've already begun to work. Lord, today let us hear the word of the Lord. Let it find good ground in our heart that we could be challenged and changed and made better. God, we're going to be careful to always give you the praise and glory for all of it, because without you, there would be nothing. So we ask you to bless us today as we hear your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands one more time to the Lord? Glory to God. As you're seated, maybe turn and tell your neighbor, you're a masterpiece. I probably don't look like it, but I love art. I do. I love to see things that are made and all kind of art. I mean, but really what you would call fine art, or I don't even know if, you know, there are a lot of real artists still in the world today. We have people who I think are artists in our own church. But it's always amazed me that a person can look at a piece of stone, and it just, to me, would look like a piece of stone. But this person looks at it and thinks, I see an image. I know what I can do with the right tools. I know what I can make out of it. And because there are people like that in the world, we have great statues and things today that if you've been to museums and places that you can admire and just see, it's amazing that they can make something look so lifelike or so beautiful just out of stone. That who looked at a rock and said, I can make this into a lion, or you know, or the great statue of David that we see that's so well known. And it's amazing to me that someone has that ability to look at something that just looks like nothing, but it's actually God's creation, and they can just see something so beautiful and just make it, build it. They can, you know, every painting that you've ever seen started on a blank canvas, just nothing there. And they sat down one day with the colors right there and the brush. But in their mind's eye, they knew exactly what was about to happen. And then we get things like Mona Lisa and Starry Night and these paintings that have stood these years and test of time that are so beautiful. Or you get the ceiling in the Sistine Chapel. You get things like that. It's just incredible to think that someone did that, could do that. And if man, who's made in God's image, well, you know, I think that's why men are so creative. We have that ability in us that comes from, it's just that God DNA that we get, that we are creative in some form. So we see men doing this. And I think about that when people think their lives really don't add up to anything, that when they look in the mirror, they don't see anything, and they think that other people look at them and don't see anything. But when God looks at you, He sees that masterpiece, because He knows what He can do with your life. He knows that He can take the right material. He knows that He can take His word, and He can apply His blood to your life, and it can change you into a new creature, where old things are passed away and all things are now made new, and now all things are of God. The Scripture declares to us that we are fearfully, wonderfully made. You need to stop listening to the labels and living by the labels that the world has decided to put on your life, and start thinking about how God thinks about you. Because He told this prophet, He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know the plans that I have for your life, and you don't even know that yet. He told the prophet, He said, before you were ever formed in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, I had sanctified you, and I had ordained you to be a prophet of the people. The vision of the master sees past the blank canvas. It sees past just the piece of stone, but it sees what you can be, what He has ordained you to be. And I'm here to tell somebody today that you need to stop looking at yourself in such a negative light. You need to stop believing the lies of the enemy and the lies of this world that tell you'll never amount to anything, or you'll never add up to anything, because let me tell you, you're worth it to Him. Yeah, come on, you're worth it to Him. Yeah, well, you ought to go ahead and clap your hands. That's good. That's good preaching. You need to hear what's being said today. There are people today that can take stuff that others have thrown away and turn it into works of art and sell it for big money and high prices. They take old car parts, and they take pallets, or they take just things from the junkyard, scrap iron and metal and things, and they shape it and they weld it and they move it. And before you know it, they've got something. It looks like flowers, and it's beautiful, and it's spinning with the wind, and it's crazy, and it's so expensive. It's got a great price on it now that the master has put His hand to it. Oh, the value that you are to Him now that He has put His hand on your life. You mean something to the master, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, a work of art. You are a masterpiece. But sometimes we don't see that. But God sees what we don't see. And He sees the one that nobody else can see. If we're made in His image, I thought about that today, and I thought, you know, well, He was manifest in the flesh. We know that. Christ was the image of the invisible God. Sometimes there's things that we do see, and then there's things that we don't see because we're made in His image. But He sees it, and He knows about it. And let me tell you, you're worth it to Him. In the Scripture, I see the Lord coming to people all the time that others had written off. The woman at the well of Samaria, she was worth a stop, because He said, I must go through Samaria. His disciples didn't understand it. They went to grab some food. She was at the well by herself because nobody wanted to be seen with her, and she didn't want to be seen with anybody. But there was Jesus. There was the Master waiting to work in her life. And He knew what others thought about her, and He knew what she thought about herself. He knew why she was sneaking to the well in the middle of the day. But He also knew that if I can just get her to see the gift of God, If I can get her to understand about this living water, it's going to change her forever. Sure, she'll have a past, but I can work with that. I can get her past her past. And he knew that if I can just speak to her and reveal myself to her, she's going to become a great evangelist. Because that woman ran back and told everybody, come meet a man that told me everything I ever did. And some people would have looked at her and said, you ain't done nothing but bad. And she's like, right, but he still offered me living water. He still said I was worth it. He still said, come unto me and drink. Isn't that the Christ? Isn't that what we want? That's the master that sees. He sees what everybody else thinks. He sees what you think. But it matters most of all what he thinks. What plan does the master have for you today? And this prophet, Jeremiah, his book, so great. And in this calling that we see to Jeremiah, we understand that God sees. He's telling Jeremiah, he said, I have seen in you what you never saw in yourself. I saw what nobody else can see. And regardless of what he sees, he loves us. He loves us. And no matter what others fail to see in us, God still loves us. It doesn't matter if they can't see everything that God sees in you. He loves you. And it doesn't matter what you think of yourself today. God loves you. And it doesn't matter your shortcomings of how you failed. God loves you. And because he loves you, he can work with you and he can put you on the wheel like clay and mold you. And if you become marred while you're in his hand, he can make you another vessel as he sees fit. Let me tell you today, God doesn't throw us away, but he keeps on working and keeps on working and keeps on molding and keeps on shaping because he knows the masterpiece that you can be for the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you today. A lot of people are trying to figure out, what am I going to be when I grow up? If you're just a freshman, you're going to be trying to figure out for the next 4 years, what am I going to be when I get out of this place besides crazy, stressed out, gray-headed. No, I'm kidding. But we go to college. We've had students here that changed their major like 4 or 5 times in 4 years, and you're like, my goodness, settle on something. But we do that in life. What can I be? How can I be better? How can I make myself? And that's good. We ought to have ambition. But let God mold you. Let God shape you. Let God tell you what he sees in you, just like he told Jeremiah. He saw what he was. He said, I ordained you to be a prophet, and you weren't even here yet. But we respond like Jeremiah so many times. And he said, I can't speak. I'm a child. I can't do that, God, because, hey, Moses did it. I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. I can't get Aaron to do it. Get somebody else. Send somebody else. Get anybody else. Not me. Because we look so narrowly at ourselves, and we think we're just not able to do anything. But if God has ordained you to it, friend, let me tell you, it will be successful. It will be a blessing. It will do, it will accomplish. Because his word goes forth and he says, it don't come back void, but it accomplishes what I set it out to do. And when God calls you out of darkness, when God begins to speak into your life, don't worry about what other people think about it. God is creating a masterpiece. Come on, stop reinforcing. Nobody else looked at Jeremiah and said, hey, you know, they didn't like what he prophesied. A lot of people didn't, but nobody ever said, hey, you're a child, you can't do that. You've got to stop reinforcing the self-imposed limitations that you've set on your life. You're stopping yourself from being what God has ordained you to be. Stop just accepting the blank canvas as the final and finished product of your life. Because God is working on you. To Jesus, he is not blank. He sees everything he's going to do. He knows the plans that he has for you. He sees the worth and the purpose and the potential that is in you if you let him work. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it is by his spirit. And that's what the Lord said. God knows what he's doing. It's not just on a whim. He's not just, hey, I think I'll do this. He's always had plans. He's always saw that vision of who you could be. And he gets us from places. We like to think he chooses from up here on the top shelf, but God gets us from the lowest of places. One of my favorite scriptures in Samuel was this prayer that Hannah prayed, and she said, he raises up the poor out of the dust, and he lifts up the beggar from the dunghill, and then he sets them among princes, among royalty, and he makes them inherit the throne of glory because he can. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. In case we've forgotten, this world belongs to him. And God can do with his creation what he wants to do with his creation. And people don't get to tell you, no, you can't do that for God. And no, you can't be that for God. You can be for God what God said you can be. Yeah? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I'm able to do it. And all things are possible to them that believe. You're able today to do it. Don't throw away a beautiful life with God on anything else. Don't write yourself off as just, I'm going to be one of those that just barely gets by. And we're not those that just barely get by. We're not going to go limping through the gate and barely crawling into glory one day, friend. But we're going to be able to say like Paul, I finished, I fought, and I kept. I was able to do it. God sees the you that nobody else sees. Think about the story of Ruth. She was not a child of God. She was from Moab, but she was married to a Hebrew boy who died. Now she's a widow, and she decides to stay with her mother-in-law and go back to the land that God wants them to go to. While she's there, she marries a Hebrew man, Boaz. He's from Bethlehem, from Judah, and she gives birth to a man named Obed, who is father to Jesse, who is father to David, King David, David the worshiper, David the giant killer, that David, yeah, that David. This is where this little old woman from Moab, this lady that had no inheritance with the people of God, and nobody would have thought she would have ever amounted to anything, and yet she becomes the great grandmother of David. King David. That puts her right in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And this was a woman who, her mother-in-law said, just go back to your own land. Go there. She said, I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to live where you live. And your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. She wasn't going to accept that just because she had tragedy in her life, that her life was going to be over. She knew that there was something about these people that she married into, that there's something about this God they serve, and I'm not going to let that be wasted. You've got to believe God's got a plan bigger than you'll ever see. She never saw Jesus. Maybe she had no idea she's just glad to have a grandbaby. But let me tell you, she had no idea where God had placed her in history, in time. And you don't know today what God might do through you, what God might use you for. We've got to believe that God is still doing great things with people's lives today. I'm not trying to call you into something that you don't belong to. I'm trying to tell you something that God is working in your life. And you don't know whose life you're going to touch. But I will tell you this, that your life means something. Your life means something. And God didn't save you so you could just save yourself. But God saved you and called you so you could be a light shining in this world. I think about how many millions of people have viewed works of art like the Mona Lisa. When that man painted it, do you think he ever had any idea that it would still even exist today? Maybe this is what he did. He was an artist, so he paints it, he sells it. It's a way of living. He had no idea that it would be something that would bring great joy to art lovers for centuries to come. You have no idea what joy you might bring to somebody, what your life might do and whose life it might touch. if you just let God work in your life. It's over in the scripture. We see it time and time again. Boaz, Salmon was his father. You know who Boaz, you know who his mother was? Anybody know? Rahab. Rahab who? Oh. Let me tell you three times. Joshua 2 and 1, Hebrews 11, 31, and James 2 and 25. Poor old Rahab the... Yeah. Everybody knows Rahab the harlot. But how many people know Rahab the mother of Boaz, who was husband to Ruth, who was the great-grandfather of David? So many times, that's all they can remember is that negative mark that's been put on somebody's life. But God took this woman and he married her to somebody, and he began to form the lineage of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he used that woman that nobody would have ever thought could be anybody. And God was working a masterpiece over and over and over again. And I love it so much that I'm going to read it to you. I want you to just hear this lineage right here in Matthew chapter 1, the first five verses, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac Jacob, Jacob Judas and his brethren. Judas begot Phares and Zara of Tamar, and Phares begot Esrom. Esrom begot Aram, Aram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, Nahshon begot Salmon. Here we go. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David, the king. David, the king, begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias, and on and on and on again. And you get all the way down to verse 16, and it says, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. That's the generations of Jesus Christ. And Ruth and Rahab were in this lineage. They were in the lineage of Jesus Christ. This is what God saw in them, what nobody else could see or even imagine or even would want to allow, because they were not Hebrew women, but their faith in God caused what God saw in them to come to pass. Just have faith in what God is doing in your life, because God sees as nobody else sees. When David was anointed to be king, he had to tell the prophet. He had to instruct him, because the prophet, he would look at David's brothers and like, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But in 1 Samuel 16 and 7, he has to give him a little instruction. Don't look on his countenance. Don't look on his height, because I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He's big. He's handsome. Got to be strong. Look at him. Got to be the Lord's anointed. I refused him. Something was there that God saw that caused him to pass by David's brothers. And when you see David's brother at battle, you understand why he chose David. Because all of his brothers were in the army that was gathered across the valley from the Philistines with Goliath and their army. And all of his brothers were shaking in their armor. And all of his brothers were hiding in their tents. And the brothers even got mad at David when he showed up and accused him of just being naughty and coming to spy out the battle and wanting to see what was going on, to tell something. And he said, isn't there a cause? And he went to the king and said, I'll fight. But the king, all he saw was a youth. When he took those stones and ran out onto the battlefield, and Goliath saw him, all he saw was a youth. And he was mad that they would send out a child to fight him. They saw a youth, but God saw what nobody else saw. In 1 Samuel 13 and 14, when God took the kingdom from Saul, it said that God has chosen a man after his own heart. God saw the king, the worshiper, the warrior, a man after his heart. He sought a man, and he anointed a boy to grow into it. It don't always happen like that. David didn't become king just because he killed Goliath. He didn't come king just because the oil got on his head, but God chose this child to grow into the man, into the king that he needed him to be. And so God has chosen you, and who knows now if it's for such a time as this, on that campus, that you're going to speak a word to somebody that's going to change their life forever. On your job or in your home, to a family member, to somebody, you're going to pray a prayer. You're going to be what they need to see. You're going to be the example. They're going to look at your life and see what God has done and understand that God can work. We say God works in mysterious ways. Let me tell you, if I had that picture, I would have given it to them. I would have told them to put a picture up of me prior to 1993. Some of y'all have seen it and laughed at it. Yeah, that's all right. But let me tell you, I was a sight. You couldn't see who I really was because of the black makeup under my eyes and the dog collar choker around my neck and the spikes and the leather and all that stuff hanging off of me. You couldn't see who I was. I was hid behind that costume, I call it, that I had on. But that was the way I dressed, the way I lived, and what I thought I wanted to be. And God said, I see past all that. I can repurpose that. I can do something with that. And so he got me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set me on a solid rock. Let me tell you, that's what God does. And friend, I'm not just saying, hey, look at this masterpiece, because I know better than that. But I'm telling you what God sees. God's like, I know what I can do with what everybody else has written off. I know what I can do with what everybody else has given up on. I know everybody else thinks that's a joke, but I know what I can do with it if I get the chance. And God worked in my life, and it wasn't easy at first, and I didn't know what I was going to do at first, but I knew that God was doing something. I want you to tell you, stick with it. Because God is working in your life. God's making a masterpiece out of you. We are lively stones, it says. And when they're sculpting, that chisel can be a little hard sometimes. But boy, when the chiseling's done, what a work of art that it is. Aren't you thankful that God knows how to work? Yeah. I'm almost done. Don't worry. I'm almost done. Everybody thought, I'm sure in the book of Acts, I'm sure at the beginning of the church age, there were a lot of people who thought it sure would be good if Saul was dead. But God looked at him and said, I see past Saul the persecutor and I see Paul the preacher. And he, instead of taking him out, instead of destroying him because of what the havoc he was wreaking on the church, he just knocked him down, gave him a revelation, set him up. And Paul became the greatest missionary that the New Testament had ever seen. Starting churches, doing miracles, signs, wonders, surviving great things, preaching the gospel, preaching the mystery that had been hid from the ages, and just turning people's lives around. Because that's what God does when he loves people. God doesn't want to take you out. He doesn't want to see you taken out. He sees you like nobody else does. Romans 5 and 8 says that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's what he did. While we were sinners, while we were the material that we think nobody can work with, God said, I can work with sinners. I can work with sinners. He didn't say he rubber stamped and okayed sin. He said, I can work with sinners. Everybody else wants to throw them away, but I can work with them. That's why he wasn't afraid to put his hand on the leper and pray for him to heal him, because what they had couldn't get on him. Look, your sin can't hurt God. It ain't going to affect God. He's holy, and he wants us to be holy as he is holy. So he's got to work with us. And so when he puts his hand on you, don't worry. It ain't going to hurt him. He's just going to love covers a multitude of sin. And God is love. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Just a couple of more. And if you want to come on to the music, you can do that. That'd be great. Couple of more just examples in Scripture that I love so much seeing, because in the book of Luke chapter 7, and I think, let's see, I want to start in verse 37. It says, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bid him, saw this, he spake within himself and he said, "This man, Jesus, if he really were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." But he did know, and he didn't care. He did know, and he didn't mind it, because he saw what nobody else could see. He saw the faith that she had. He saw that she wanted to be different. He saw that she was ready to repent of her life. And he tells her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you." He saw what nobody else could see. And he spoke a word that changed her life forever. Jesus sees who you are. And he knows what he can do with who you are. If you go to John chapter 8, you can stand with me on this one. In John chapter 8, in verse number 3, it says, "The scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him," to Jesus, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" There's no denying what she had done. She couldn't say, she wasn't refuting anything. She wasn't saying, "No, that wasn't me. They're lying. This is a scheme," anything. She didn't say anything. She knew she was caught red-handed. I like it because it doesn't name her. So we can just insert our name right here into this, because we've all been in that place where we know we are guilty. There's nothing we can do about it. We're caught. I can't change that. And they thought they had Jesus between a rock and a hard place. Moses commanded, because the law demanded, that we stone her. What do you say? They only saw her through the lens of the law, but he saw her through the eyes of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, that washes people and forgives people, the blood that cleanses us from all sin. And so he finally told her, because when they wanted her dead, he wanted to give her another chance and give her life. And so he told them, "You know, you without sin, why don't you cast the first stone?" And they realized, "We're caught, and there's nothing we can do." And so they dropped their rocks and they walked away. When Jesus saw nobody around, he asked her, "So where are those that are accusing you?" And she said, "There is no man, Lord, and nobody's condemned me." And he said, "I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." An opportunity to be better. He took this life that was about to be ended, a life that had just moments left to live, and told her, "You're free. Look what God can do." Wonder what this woman did. Wonder how she testified. Wonder where she's at in the kingdom. Wonder how many people she said. I wonder how many people were there when she was drug away and they were expecting to go to her funeral. But the next knock at the door was her. "How are you back here? How are you still living?" "Because I met the one who speaks mercy. I met the one who forgives. I met the one who, instead of throwing me away like junk, decided to start making a masterpiece of my life. Today, Jesus sees you that no one else does. And with faith in Him today, you can begin to see the first strokes of the brush, the first hits of the chisel, the things that He is creating in your life. He's molding you. He's shaping you. He's working in your life that He loves you. He died for you. He gave His life so that you could live. He gave His life so you could be that masterpiece, that you could say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I don't have to hold on to the labels, to those self-imposed limitations. I can just let all that go today and be what Jesus wants me to be. That's the possibility of every time you get in His presence. That's the possibility you have anytime you pray, that God can change your life. And so today, I wanted to give just an old-fashioned altar call. Ask you to examine, where are you at in your life? Is this what you needed to hear today? That God sees you and He loves you. He accepts you, but He loves you too much to leave you unchanged. God will change your life and make you to be what He wants you to be. He saw you and He knew you before you were formed in the belly. He had a purpose for you before you ever saw the light of day. It was all in His plan.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.